Log Talk Radio.
I am politically incorrect and damn proud of it. I love my country, but I'm scared to death of its government. You believe what you read because it's all that we give you. Because all the history is written by winners. I'm engaged in a frenzy of mass self-destruction. And I feed upon your famine to fuel my corruption. I'm wholesaling hatred and international incest to carnivorous hyenas in a global death bed. I've mastered the arts of death. Foreign nation genocide. Those who turn on me commit national suicide.
Wasted. I know that's probably not in everyone's wheelhouse. It's not in mine. But the message certainly is clear. And it sure as hell is accurate. It's Monday night, everybody. Welcome aboard to the Constitution Hour. And you know, more and more every day, it's becoming more and more apparent, more and more real, that we are witnessing the crumbling of the United States of America. I thought you'd like that, Rod. And yeah, you know, Linda, it is heartbreaking. And I think history shows us that it's almost necessary. When the pendulum swings one direction and it gets to the fulcrum point where it begins to swing back the other way, that pause is momentary and very fleeting. I apologize for my clearing my throat so frequently. That pause, when that pendulum swings all the way to the right, before it begins to traverse back to the left, there's a pause, a moment of zero gravity, if you will. At that moment is when we have the freest, most moral, most polite society. From that moment forward, or backwards, as it were, it begins to decline. And every tick, every movement of that pendulum swinging back towards oppression, tyranny, collectivism, it's accelerating. And it's sad to watch. And one would think that after all the many thousands of years of written history, mankind would have by now figured it out. Recognized the warning signs and progressed forward away from the backward regression that we're experiencing. I mean, let's be honest, if we look at it logistically, logically, pragmatically, we're drifting closer and closer to feudalism, to monarchy, to dictatorship, totalitarianism. That's kind of where we started at, wasn't it? Or maybe we didn't. I mean, we don't really know for sure, do we? It's just sad to see it occur. Sad to see the idea that what you thought was America only ever really existed in fairy tales, books, in your history class. You've never experienced it. You didn't live it. It was something that was in the past. And in the name of progress, we've destroyed anything that even resembles that past. And it is sad. And of course, we always wax nostalgic, look back on the past. Yesterday was always better than today. Memories. You know, we have those fond memories of how things used to be. And of course, those memories are usually much kinder and much gentler than reality. And that's the way human nature works. Our minds work in that way. Of course, I talked on the show last week about the fact that we are sending 10,000 of our military troops to Egypt for the purposes of riot control. And now we see that our own government has signed a deal with Russia to use Russian troops for such events here in the United States. And this should not come as any shock to anyone, because if you recall, I've spoken on a number of occasions about a deal that was done with the Canadian military in 2007 for exactly the same purposes. Now, granted, mention of the Canadian military does not conjure up the same images in the minds of Americans as does the images of foreign Soviet troops, and for obvious reasons. We've been fed a hell of a lot of propaganda and scare fear-mongering over the decades about those damned evil Russians. But you know, they're human beings just like we are. And the majority of the Russians don't want to kill Americans any more than Americans wanted to kill Russians. Same could be said of the Vietnamese and a lot of other enemies, foes, dragons, giants that we've had to go around the world and slay. I see we've got Mr. Kaplan with us, our resident rabbi. We're going to bring on Rabbi Kaplan right now from sunny Venice, Florida. Reverend Kaplan, how are you, sir?
It's not sunny today. It's been raining all day like cats and dogs.
Well, how are you? How are you, Rabbi?
I'm there's no words to express how I feel. I can't. I'm numb. Just numb. That's why I've been on the show. I haven't recovered from digesting all this stuff I've been hearing. I don't know. I literally just don't care anymore, Ron. That's the part. That's where I'm at right now. Sad to say, but it's true. I just don't care.
Well, you know, I was sitting here thinking, Robert, it's a shame that you're not a Moyle, because we might could use your services in Washington, D.C. Maybe just circumcise the whole lot.
You can have my foreskin at this point, Tom. I don't care.
No, I mean just circumcise the whole lot. Just lop it right off and let it drift off to sea.
I hope you don't get mad at me for saying this, but I wish you would have saved your son's finger so we could have mailed it to the White House.
That would be awesome.
I think that's just too bad we didn't save it. That's how I feel.
He tried, but he wouldn't let him, and his wife was adamantly opposed to the idea, so.
I mean, you know, I listened to every word over and over again, three or four times, and to top it all off, what really, really, really got me upset, Ron, was our dictator-in-chief, and I'll probably get a letter from the IRS wanting to do an audit on me for this one, but, you know, being as it may, they're probably listening to me right now. But when he was giving his speech to Africa in South Cape, whatever, and about empowerment and freedom, it was just so nauseating, I just couldn't listen to it anymore. I turned it off. I just turned it off.
Wow.
No, Ron.
I've got everybody now thinking that you truly are a rabbi, Robert. I do apologize, guys.
That's pretty impressive, Ron.
I know. Well, he is very conflicted, and we've got some new folks in the chat, Barbara, 888. And yes, Robert grew up, you know, as part Catholic and part Jewish, so he's very conflicted. And I tease him a lot, but it's all in good fun and out of nothing but love. Robert's a great guy.
Well, I tell you, Ron, I just don't acknowledge the fact that I don't acknowledge that I'm an American. I feel like I'm not even an American anymore. I don't even know what I am anymore. I'm a lost sheep. I might as well be a wandering Jew in the desert, just roamed the desert for 40 years.
Oh, my God. You know? You're mistaken for a pot plant, and they'll seize you in the war on drugs. A wandering Jew. That's hilarious.
That's how I feel, Ron. I'm just like... You know, my Leonie gets it. My Leonie, She gets it. She knows what's what. She knows. Now the Senate passed the immigration reform bill, and I'm looking. You know, it's just another shmoo Obama bill, and it's just, you know, these guys. You know, it's just like when they call the Gang of Eight. They're nothing but a damn gang. It's a gang. They're letting all these gangs in with this bill. It's gonna be. We said it before, Ron. It's a matter of time when it's coming. When we don't know, but you know, I'm just counting my last days on this earth. It doesn't matter. I did what I wanted to do all my life.
Well, I've been watching. Patiently, quietly, well, okay, that's a lie. I haven't been watching patiently or quietly, but I have been watching what's going on and what's unfolding over the many years. And, you know, one of the things that Glenn had talked about, and I don't put full faith and credit in everything that Glenn Beck says or does, but he did say that at some point we're going to have our Archduke Ferdinand moment. And I agree with him. And I've always wondered, what that would look like. What would that be? And I got to tell you, many years ago, I had a revelation, I guess, for lack of a better term. And all I could tell you is that there's something about Florida. I didn't know what that meant. No, I'm not kidding. I didn't know what that meant. And you know, there were several things that went on, and then my wife was offered a position in Florida, and it looked like we were going to be moving down there and making, you know, 2.5-3 times what we currently make, which would have meant that I could retire comfortably and really pursue some of my passions. But it turned out that wasn't it, and that wasn't to be, and I just kept asking, you know, what is it? And it just hit me today. As I look around and I see the totality of everything that's going on around the world. And I talked about, you know, the fact that we're sending troops for riot control over to Egypt. We're involved over in Syria. And now we get this story that FEMA and Homeland Security has signed a deal with the Soviets. And we know about the deal with the Canadians. And I thought, you know, I'm reading the headline, and I was reading the testimony from the George Zimmerman trial. And I can't help but wonder, what do you think the reaction will be when he's acquitted?
You know what's going to happen.
And where would that originate? In Florida.
Oh man, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen.
I'm saying it right here. The outcome of this trial may well be that defining moment.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, I agree with you 100%.
It might be the spark that lights the keg.
Mm-hmm. This Paul Deke bull stuff, you know, Deke
exactly.
Gets fired up.
I mean, look, they're blowing that all out of proportion 30 years after the event.
Yeah,
and you're absolutely right. It's being manufactured. Doc, you're 100% correct.
You know, Ron, I thought for sure that, you know, by electing a black president, the racism would go away. But you know what? It's made it worse. It's made it. The Democrats played it so well that it's made the race situation putrid. That's the word I want to use. Putrid. That's the word of the day. This is what I think of this crap. It's putrid. It stinks. It's, you know, it just stinks. It's vile. This whole thing is, it's like Wasserman. Vile. Absolutely vile. You never see me talk derogatory, and I've always tried to be positive. But you know, but after listening to all, after analyzing it, and after critically, positively thinking about it, you know, using my skills from undergrad school and graduate school, you cannot come up with a conclusion that is putrid, stinks, vile. And that's the way people want to act. Let them act and let them go to hell, as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
I can't take it anymore, Ron. I'm coming to the point with all the training that I've had. With all the training that I've had, Ron, I can't read human behavior anymore. I've told you that before. I can't read it anymore. I can't read human behavior no more.
Well, I think you've got a portion of the population that wholeheartedly, earnestly, and I will say ignorantly, believe in the rhetoric from both sides. Left or right.
Yeah.
They just buy it. And they believe that their side is doing the right thing. Or is trying to do the right thing, but is being hindered by the wrong side. The other side. The opposition. And what they fail to recognize is that all this crap is destroying society. All these programs that are supposedly helping people, they're not helping anyone.
I understand. I understand, but when you get guys like Alan Combs and Bob Dunkel, and you know, and they're getting it, they're finally getting it, they're standing up, they laid the dollar short, but excuse me, but God, at least they're getting it. And that and that Democrat from where was it, Kansas, just shut the IRS down like a, you know, just reamed them anew, you know what? I mean, my Lord. I mean, they're getting it finally, but, you know, but still you can't trust them. You still can't trust them because they're still in the progressive movement. I mean, no matter what you do, you know you can't trust them. That's my take on it, and I said my piece.
Well, and you know, I think the Egyptians, the Egyptian people, they ought to be wondering why. Why would you be sending American troops here? They have military there. Their military is capable.
Yeah, but they're standing up to that Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood, which I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud of them. I was like, thank God, they even get it.
Well, see, that's the thing. And I think that is primarily the youth in that country. And you cannot stop the flow of information and the truth. You can't.
No.
And they don't want that. They don't want the Islamic bullcrap. They have their traditions. They have their traditions and their you know, that they want to follow, but they're not hardline Islamists. And I think they recognize that their government has been oppressing them more than the evil West. Granted, we've been helping pay for it.
Really, you know, that's, you know, the money that we just waste. You know, I just, man, it can't be fixed.
I don't even look at it. Robert, I don't look at it as money, and I think that's one of the problems we have. If we stopped looking at it as money and we started looking at it as hours, weeks, months, and years of someone else's time, our children's time, my grandchildren's time, they have spent all the productive time of the next two generations. They've wasted.
Exactly.
They are absolutely wasting. And all, you know, people get so clouded by the idea of money. What do you think I've been harping about since I got on the daggum radio? It's not money. You're looking at money all the wrong way. Money is just a tool. It's a token. It represents your time, your effort. And the whole idea behind money is to make it easier to trade with one another. And, you know, everything that we're involved with, and we lose sight of this so easily, every single person that gets up and goes to work, whether you're a lawyer, God forbid, or a janitor, you're providing a service to someone else. You're not only serving your need is being served by your employer and by those people who are willing to pay for the service that you provide so that they can go about their lives and provide the services that they provide. It's all about serving one another. And we truly
exactly.
do. But we lose sight of that because we put a dollar figure on it.
Leon and I were talking in the car. She goes, "I don't know how you do it. You work, you make a certain amount, you pay your bills on time, you have enough to spare. How do you do it? How do you manage? I don't understand." I said, "I provide myself with a budget. I balance my budget. I balance a budget, Ron. Why can't the damn government do it?
I think you're asking the wrong question, Robert. Instead of asking how do you do it, you ought to be asking why do we do it? Why do we do it?
I do it in order to survive so I can live. Period. So I can survive.
I think we always use that excuse. But I think if you really look at it, come on, you're in the psychology field. You ought to be able to see this probably better than I do. But I think what happens is we have been ingrained from the time we're born. We have an obligation. We have an obligation to one another. And then as you get older, you have an obligation to family. When you get married, you've got an obligation to your wife and children if you have any children. So it's an obligation that you have to your family and loved ones to provide for them. And we've been indoctrinated that the way you do that, well, here's the method. You get up, well, you got to pay your taxes. You got to do this. You got to do that. But the problem is you lose yourself and your family in the process. And at some point, you're just going through the damn motions. You've lost any idea of the aspect of serving someone else. You go anywhere. Look at the nasty-ass attitudes that you get from people everywhere you go. People you're trying to help in your business, you're trying to help someone, and all you get is attitude.
Oh, God, don't I know. I mean, I deal with Kathy every day. Sometimes she has a bad, bad day. But when she has her bad day, it takes a toll out of me.
Sure.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
And you know what? And it just makes a chain, and everybody takes it out on everybody else. And the ones that suffer the most are our families. And yet they love us, unflinchingly. Unconditionally. Most of them, at least. Unconditionally. My grandson at the current moment has a lot of conditional love, but he can't help that. He's 2 years old.
how's your dad doing? Is he doing okay?
Well, he's still alive. you know, I don't know, Robert. I have not had opportunity to sit down and talk with the doctors, but I'm smart enough, I think, to read between the lines a little bit. They've still not sent him home. They can't get his blood sugar stabilized. It's all over the map. But, of course, he's on chemo and a lot of other drugs.
Sorry, Ron.
You know, his oxygen level is, they had it at 8. It's back down to about a 5 now, but it's still not great, you know?
He might come around. You don't know.
Well,
he's
I just don't know. I just have to stay positive and you know, keep moving forward. And if he doesn't get to come home, he'll get to go home. You know what I mean? And he'll be in a perfect place. He'll be in a perfect place. And he won't have to sit here in anguish over watching what's going on. But my own selfishness, I sure would like to have him here with me.
It's terrible. This is, you know, I mean, I lost a lot of people in a year, and, you know, I'm just like, you know.
Well, and you know, I think back, we talk about, and this may be another thing that we do, and I'm trying to be better about it. Unfortunately, our nature is that, you know, we are selfish, and we're very selfish with our loved ones. We're selfish with everything most of the time, not always. But I want to be, we're all, I always used to joke, you know, people to ask, how you doing? I'm dying. How are you? And it's true. We are. We're all moving towards that end. My father used to tell me all the time, he said, I'm going to give you a little hint. He said, none of us get out of this gig alive. You just don't. And so you better, you know, you better find your relationship with God, with your Creator.
Yeah.
And I know he's
sound. I think I have, Ron.
But you know, we talk about losing people, but I think in the grand scheme of things, if we were honest with ourselves, I don't think that we really truly know someone, appreciate them, until after they're gone. We tend to take them for granted while they're here. And, you know, my mother...
True.
My mother had a little boy before I was born. She was married before her and my father got married, and she had a little boy, a son. His name was Stanley. And I've told this story before, and it still chokes me up to think about it. But all the time growing up, as a child, she always talked about Stanley. And she, without fail, I guarantee you to this day, that lady has never missed putting flowers on his grave for his birthday. I will promise you that as sure as I'm breathing.
And that's something.
And one night, it hit me. I was up probably 3 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't sleep, flipping and flopping in the bed. I'd been doing a lot of writing, and it hit me. She didn't lose him. He's not gone. And I called her the next day, and I told her, I said, Mom, I know what I'm going to tell you is probably going to make you mad at me. But you need to forgive God. She said, what are you talking about? I said, for Robert Stanley. He didn't take him away from me. And I could hear her voice quiver. My mother's a pretty strong woman. And she said, yes, he did. And we talked for a little bit. And I told her, I said, I want to ask you something. I said, is there ever a day where you don't think about him? She said, no. I said, when you close your eyes, can you see him? She said, she can still smell him. And I said, I thought you said he was gone.
No, they're still here. My father's still here.
From where I sit, God gave her two sons. One is 47 years old, lives 1,000 miles away in Georgia. And he calls her from time to time, and they talk on the phone. The other one, he's 2 years old, and she holds him in her arms every night when she goes to bed. Every day she sees his face. And until she dies, he'll be her 2-year-old little boy.
That's a sad story.
It's the truth. It's absolutely the truth.
Yeah. I lost two of my cousins. I lost two of my cousins. Both had subdermal hematomas. Well, on my mother's side at 19, and on my father's side at age maybe 32, 33. My both first cousins on east side. I went to a new neurologist last week. And I said strokes are prevalent in my family, and tumors are prevalent in my family. I said to her, I have the Catholic curse. they haven't ruled out seizure disorder on me yet. So. It's just like I'm saying to myself, I know what my Michael Manager must be going through, and everybody else is, has their problems, And I still say, you saw Kathy. When you look at that girl, your problems are very minute compared to hers. That's what keeps me going, Ron.
But it's difficult. Our problems, I think many of our problems are self-imposed. We stress over things that we have no control over, and that when you really step back and look at it, why are you stressed out? You can't change it.
No.
And,
you know,
I look at someone like Kathy, and... For those of our guests that are listening that aren't familiar with Kathy, Kathy is a young lady that Robert cares for. And what does she have? What disorder does she have, Robert?
Cerebral palsy.
But there's still a light on there. I can see it in her eyes. And she's responsive. It's just that her motor skills are diminished to where she can't respond like you or I would respond. Right, but she's very much aware, and the mind is working.
I understand. I know completely.
And, I guess I'm trying to say that sometimes we get so caught up in going through the motions of life that we do not recognize the blessing of the people that are in our lives, even if it's only for a moment. many times we don't recognize what a blessing that was until after it's gone. After the fact. After the fact. Ex post facto. And, you know, it's a shame. I had an aunt when I was growing up that, and I've told this story, that she developed pneumonia when she was 5 and, you know, got a very high fever and ended up with brain damage. And she died when she was 54 and she was 5 years old her whole life. And I used to feel bad. I used to feel so sad for my Aunt Ruthie. And it wasn't until years later that I realized, you know what? That probably wasn't such a bad life, always being 5 years old. She never worried about politics. She never worried about money. She never had to worry about what she was going to eat, where she was going to go. She didn't have all those cares, those worries. She was a happy, loving 5-year-old little girl her whole life. That's not such a bad gig, is it?
No, it's not. It's just.
I don't want to interrupt, but I want to bring in the always lovely and thoughtful Miss Linda Sills from California. How are you, Miss Linda?
Fine. How's everybody? Hi, Robert. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Miss Linda.
Yeah, it's kind of like we're getting our heat wave a little bit. We've got a little humidity. It's about 86 degrees. It's not that bad because we have an ocean breeze. So, I know, boo-hoo. But
well, you know why the wind comes in off the shore? It's because all the hot air going up in Washington, D.C., and it's creating a drought.
Oh, Lord. Exactly. Well, from both orifices, I'm sure. It was miserable. Oh, the global warming. Talk about methane in cow farts. Oh, so
well, that's why the temperature is so high in Death Valley. But anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, I've been posting on Facebook for the past couple of days with all the stuff that's going on because people out there, you know, in all these little groups and these Facebook pages and all these folks who are very well-meaning, they get it. I mean, they're frustrated as all get out because you're right about the pendulum swinging. I don't know any other way out of this, and it's just going to do its thing, and we can't really stop it. You know, there's talks of marching, there's so much stuff. And I just tell them, I go, look, we better figure it out, what, you know, other than your family and God and whatever bullets you've kept, we're on our own because those clowns in D.C. don't give a rat's behind about us. They have their families, they've got their money, they've got their, you know, they're in the swamp of D.C. They don't care. They completely lose their souls, I swear, probably 24 hours of being in that damn place. It's, you know, you can smell the sulfur. You know, it's that bad. I don't have any use for any of it anymore. I don't.
I think that's really illustrative of the point, isn't it? That, you know, we start from humble beginnings, and we build into this tyrannical
machine.
Thing.
Yeah.
And history is full of the examples. The Bible is full of the very same
over
story.
Over and over again. Yep.
I mean, my God, look what happened with the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Sure.
And the crucifixion of Christ. It's the same thing. They were using God's law to oppress people. The power and it went to their heads, and they begin to see themselves as God instead of seeing themselves the same as every other individual in society. And so we begin this pecking order, this hierarchy, and it just snowballs, and then it finally at some point just pops. And when it pops, people are scattered all over, and there's always plenty of folks willing to pick up. And as soon as they get an audience, you know, they find a crowd, and they start doing it all over again. It's building Babylon. It's absolutely building Babylon. That's why Christ, in Revelation, you know, they're calling them out. The whore Babylon. That mm-hmm. was Israel.
Wow. Well, look, I mean, we know this is not going to end well, okay? I hate being blindsided, so at least I know it's coming. Not that that helps, maybe. I don't know. It's what they're doing, even in this country, you know, when we started out, we had the pilgrims, we had all these things, we had England before King George, because King George didn't take the throne until, I think it was like a year after George Washington married Martha or something, whatever that was. So whoever was preceding him, they were all tyrants. They were monarchs. And our guys just got tired of it, you know. So, and then when you read the Federalist Papers and when you read people like John Adams talking about the Constitution, you know, and the Kentucky Resolution, I think it was 1798, they're very clear. They were adamant about keeping to the, you know, the text and history and don't bastardize these words and don't, you know, give license to just,
well,
you know,
absolutely, but even in that, I mean, and to me, the history of our founding, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution,
right.
and everything, all that surrounded that, even then, it's not perfect. It's nowhere near perfect.
Because there's
a bridge too far that society won't go and men fear to tread, okay? And that's why we still had slavery. They embraced it because it was expedient, and they could rationalize it. We started a national bank, even though it wasn't expressly prohibited in the language. Well, then we should be able to do it. Even though they knew, they were the guys that wrote the document and had the conversations, had the debates. They knew the perils of it. They couldn't resist it anyway. They did it.
Dang. Yeah.
And again, it's that pendulum just swings just so far that it starts to go back the other direction. And there's just a momentary nanosecond where there's zero gravity. And then it's going back the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. And what it's like being at the top of one of those roller coasters. I know. So what they were, again, many of them, most of them, were so careful and they tried very hard to do it. Was to make sure that they could put the chains of the Constitution, at least, you know, in the minds and hearts of the people and those who signed it, et cetera, and understood it, that this was a tiny, very, very limited government and the states' rights were just paramount to everything else except the will of the people, you know, the powers to be delegated.
But how's
and,
that,
and
right.
then it, but then I believe when you start, okay, there's the beginning and then this machine starts. Okay, because what happens when you have, back then, you had capitalism, you had free market. You and I've never seen that kind of deal, you know, where you're unfettered by stupidity of the EPA and the rest of the SOBs, you know, and then you go forth and then you've got these centralized banking people and you've got the uber elite trying to tear down everything we just built up. It becomes a problem because then you have these corporations who get greedy, and then you have a government that gets greedy with power and everything else, and then you have what some people call corporatocracy. I just call it fascism because that's what it is.
This sure absolutely is. It's absolutely fascistic.
And
to me, and you know, we've had this conversation before.
Right.
The problem begins the moment that man believes he can rule over man. If we would simply be left to govern ourselves, it would be no worse than what we have now. I just can't imagine that it could be. But it is that desire to have power over God's creation, over our fellow human beings. I mean, we see it even in the schoolyard, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
so
because human nature is not going to change on the vast scale of things. Individuals change, you know.
Individuals change with knowledge and wisdom. Individuals change.
Right. And when you talk about governing oneself, I mean, that was pretty much part of the idea, that they did not want this giant government to happen, although they gave, you know, almost gave birth to it by putting it in that context. I don't know whether it was their fault or the fault of the evil ones, kind of switching things up and lying and, you know, bastardizing all the words and just, you know, talking about commerce and everything else. And then you have, of course, you see today the Supreme Court, which is taking powers it does not have. They do whatever they want. And nobody's there to stop them. I mean, I don't see anybody coming out with thunderbolts from those guys, you know.
Well, I mean, let's face it. God set the Ten Commandments cast in stone.
Right.
How long did it take Israel to begin diminishing and reinterpreting what God cast in stone? I mean,
Even down from the mount. Yeah,
Exactly. My goodness, I've talked about this before, that we are incapable of keeping the law, whether it's God's law or our own law. And I think that's what Christ was teaching, that
right.
Instead of trying to be ruler over everyone else, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right.
Don't pick at every petty little thing your neighbor does that you don't like or that you think is a sin. You know, go ahead and tug that 2x4 out of your own eye socket before you start picking at that little speck of sawdust in your neighbor's eye. If we just tend to ourselves.
Right. Mind your own business. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Mind your business.
The golden rule.
Do unto
others.
Right. And it used to be on our coins. Mind your business. Instead of in God we trust. And also, Thomas Jefferson was very much that way. He totally was that way. If it doesn't pick my pocket or break my arm, what do I care? You know, it's like,
it
my
might be
Lord.
Disgusting to me, but I don't have to stand and watch it either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why Michael Magic, he just unhooked the cable and put up rabbit ears. He's done with it, and I don't blame him. I mean, that's coming up next for me. Trust me. One of these days.
Robert, I hear you chuckling back there. What you got going on?
I was laughing. I laughed at Linda when she said, mind your business. That's what I do all day long is mind my business. And that's all I do, Linda. I just do
well,
not
when you're
my
not business. When you're not tormenting your dog.
He's teasing you, Ron. My Lord.
I don't believe that for a minute.
My dog is, she was so sick a week and a half ago, Ron. Oh, my God. She was, I woke up one morning and it was just a cesspool of vomit all over my utility floor. I mean, it was like a flood zone. It was just awful. And she had gastritis so bad.
Oh,
my God. It was horrible. It took me almost like an hour and a half to clean it up, right? So I put all the stuff in a bag and I took it to the vet so they could analyze it to make sure what was going on. The vet goes, that was pretty smart of you bringing that stuff.
Oh,
I'm sure he was thrilled, poor thing.
Oh, my Lord.
How's Leonie doing?
Leonie, she's doing great. I mean, we've been slammed and, you know, the sad thing about it is, we don't know if we can come to Indiana yet because we don't know when the father's going on vacation. We might not be able to come
I'm going to give you a hard time because, Robert, you know I love you, but you always giving me excuses, and you know what I'm fixing to ask you next.
I know you're going to read me. I deserve to be read.
How's Frank doing? How's Frank doing?
I think I gotta see him because I don't know where he is. I think he might have went home. I think he's out of the rehab. I think he might have went home, and I have to get his home address, and I got to find his phone number.
Yeah, because we were thinking about him, and you know, I was going to ask you that if Ron didn't. So,
Leonie keeps tabs on him too, and the last I heard, I think he might have went home, and that's why we've been just so busy with Kathy. She's just a handful, and
we really, we really miss Frank. I know, I really miss Frank.
I miss Frank too. It's just I know he's doing okay, but I don't know if he went home or not. I'm not sure of that story yet.
If you get a chance to talk to him, please have him call in one of our shows. Oh my gosh. Even for a few minutes.
What I'll do, Linda, I gotta return a book that I borrowed and I have to return it. But that's where I've been getting most of my material from, his book that he gave me. And I gotta give it back to him. And I'm telling you, I promise y'all, I'll make it a point. He'll be on a show before y'all go to Indiana.
Delaney.
I promise. Are you guys gonna do a show while you're up in Indiana? Or no?
I don't know.
Well, it'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so we really don't have any shows. I don't think anyone that's going has any shows going on up there. I don't know. We could do like a.
How's the other Mike doing? I hear he's back. How's he doing?
He's back. I've talked to him some. Linda, go ahead. You talk to him more than I do.
Sometimes I email him and then he gets real busy or something happens or he gets. You know, sometimes he has those epileptic seizure things. And
he gets
these things that he goes through, and then I haven't talked to him in probably quite a while, but I know he's.
What about Mike from the hot seat?
He was back on the air last Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and I was helping him co-host, and Johnny Hollywood was on. It was kind of cool. We had callers from the UK. We had callers from everywhere. It was really cool. But now, Michael Magic, I know he's going to be real busy starting now all the way through probably half of August with many reunions with his family and her family. So, you know, they're just like real busy, but thank God they're having some fun. So that's good. And, because I don't think he was on last Friday. I tried to get into the show for a couple seconds before I went to dance.
I haven't been on
their
show, Bill's show. I've been really busy, and I apologize for it.
Yeah, but we're going to Delaney on the 12th, man, and it's going to be fun. So
we'll see what happens. So you don't cut us out yet. I'll let you know for sure.
We would love to have you, and Miss Terry's coming too. So.
I really am looking forward to seeing Miss Terry. She is such a dear.
She really is. I know. Bless her heart.
I mean, I love all you guys. You guys are all awesome. But she's got a special spot, I think, in everybody's heart.
Yeah, she's a doll. Yeah. And I remember, because the last time I actually got to be with her and David was in 2010. And then, of course, just hanging out on the shows and emailing and everything else and, you know, being able to do that. So, yeah, and I know she's excited. I mean, she's like way, probably more than all of us because it's been so long since she's seen us and stuff. So, yeah.
How's Uncle Bill Strong doing?
He's ornery as ever. He's in the chat room.
He's fixing to go off the grid, man. he's fixing to burrow into the hills.
I'm sure he's had enough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge.
I look at this stuff and I just laugh at it now. I just look at it and laugh.
It's not funny. It's very sad. But the thing is, you know, there's only certain things you can do to try to stay afloat. There's only certain things you can do to try to change stuff. On the grand scheme of things, I don't know who's going to win this battle except God. I mean, you know, and I know we got to go through some hell. I know we do. I ain't looking forward to any of it. But I'll fight to the end.
You know, haven't we talked about that since the outset? That, you know, guys, we've got to remember that we fight in victory, not for victory.
Right.
Victory's already been had. We win. God wins in the end. I mean,
I know.
He's already won. They just can't accept defeat.
True.
Hell, Ron, they won back in 1974.
We have to make sure that we don't use violence and force as correction. You know, there's nothing wrong with being angry. There's nothing wrong with righteous anger.
That's correct.
But just lash out, and I know it's difficult. I've said this 100 times. It's hard because you get so angry with people, but it's not the people that we're fighting. It's an ideology. It's
right.
Ignorant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was in junior college, Ron, back in 76, I had a history professor. His name was Mr. Tisdale. He says, "You're the only student that comes back at me with something. Why is it that no one else can talk like you? God dang, I'm trying to get people upset to get them thinking, and you're the only one that has enough chutzpah to say something to me. Who told you to do that?" I said, "My father told me to speak my mind. What do you want from me? If I don't agree with something that you say, I want to come back at you with some facts to prove you wrong. If I can come back with some facts to prove you wrong, then you're wrong. You shouldn't be saying things like that in class. Get people upset. People are afraid to back, you know, people are afraid. People are afraid to speak their minds. That's how it's all about. It's all about control. Everybody's
right.
Trying to control us. You know, it's just all about control. It's a control.
I know. Well, you know, what Ron was saying about the ideology, and when I was face-to-face with these people who were thinking that global warming is real and it's, you know, caused by people in SUVs, I have a feeling that the ones... Yeah. the people who are on that level, I'm not talking about their mentors or the ICLEI or the rest of them, but... The people who were sitting face to face with me, I don't think they quite get this is the feeling I got, that they don't understand that they're fighting an ideology or fighting for an ideology. They're actually targeting me as an individual because I disagree with them. Does that make sense? I mean,
oh,
it's
absolutely.
Weird.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because I sit and wonder a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it. We all do it. But I try to figure out what is it, what is the mechanism in my mind that leads me to believe something wholeheartedly and defend it to the point of fisticuffs almost.
Yeah.
When I really don't know because I don't have all the facts and I couldn't possibly know. But I'll defend it all the same.
Yeah.
And, you know. It's unfortunate, but again, I think that's part of our human nature.
Sure.
And we're so out of touch with the world, as far as, you know, the world around us. I don't mean the world as in, you know, globally. But we're so out of touch with everything around us, with our neighbors, with our family. We're so caught up in that daily routine that we just... You know, we don't even bother. That's why nobody reads history. So few people know history. That's why few people don't put in the time to sit and read the scripture and to really meditate on what's said.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
just remember only two words. It's called
human
psychological
nature.
Warfare. Psychological warfare.
Well,
psychological warfare.
That's a lot like saying perception is reality.
That's it. All it is. That's the name of the game, is psychological warfare.
Doc said, those who don't know history are doomed to remain a dumbass.
Yep.
Words of wisdom from the doc.
Mm-hmm. The doc said that? That's pretty funny,
yeah.
Doc.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's got a good wit.
Yeah, he's fun.
Wow.
He's got to be looking at all them stinky feet all day.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, no.
Well, he's a podiatrist, so, you know.
Is Rod in the chat room?
Yeah, I'm in the chat room.
He was.
Oh, Rod Luke. Oh, yeah, he had to leave. He had a friend from Nevada come in. So.
Wow.
Sorry, Barbara, I apologize that I haven't done a more exciting show for you. I know we've seen you in a couple of times, but I just kind of shoot from the hip.
Yeah, encourage them to call. We love callers.
Absolutely, I love callers. You know, I certainly would love to get someone else's perception of things other than just my own. And that of my faithful followers here on the Patriot family.
I know. So speaking of all that, I know you've got your situation with your pops and everything. That's kind of probably wearing thin, you know. But the Patriot side and the blog talk and all that stuff, I don't know what we're going to do to make it more exciting or get people, you know.
I don't know.
Kind of stuff.
You know, I don't know how we can make it more exciting, and I know Bill was talking about that a little bit. When you go in and look at the site itself and you look at, you know, changing it up, changing the appearance is all you're really doing, and there's only certain templates that you really can use unless you really know web graphics, which I do not. And my son knows some, but not enough to really do what I'd like to see done. But I don't think that making superficial changes in appearance is going to change things, and I don't think it's going to draw people in. And I think, you know, as excited as I am about the idea or the prospect of growing it into something bigger, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know how to go about that. And that's why I questioned, you know, are you sure you want me as the head guy? Because that's, y'all may be casting your pearls before swine here.
And also, for the radio shows, I'm just wondering, you know, because I'm not that well-versed in going into the intricate parts of Blog Talk Radio and finding out how to promote shows and stuff, because I noticed that Mikey has, when you go in to try to find him on the main pages, you just type in politics, conservative, and, you know, whatever. And then his gats and flag comes up, you know, like listen now or upcoming or whatever. So I don't know if any of ours do that. And so I've been trying to promote the shows on every dang Facebook page I can get my hands on.
I want to talk to one of the guys that I used to work with from Freedomizer. And figure out how we get something like what Freedomizer has going on. Freedomizer Radio, but they're still on Blog Talk. But it's all run. It's different. All the shows are under one heading, and it's just so much easier to track. But, yeah, we need somebody. Bill's right. We need a webmaster.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Ron, isn't there any way we could, debate these other shows? I mean, just have a crossover debate?
You can, but, you know, even now, with just the three of us on here, it gets pretty difficult when you got people cross-talking each other and You know, it would certainly be interesting. And we do get some folks from the other shows, especially Freedomizer, coming over here. And I had quite a few followers when I was on Freedomizer.
Sure.
But, you know, for whatever reason, because they have a pretty big exposure already.
Sure.
And I still see ABC. He doesn't come. I haven't seen him on my show in a while, but he does come to Mike's show.
Did Saturday. Yeah, he called in, too. Yeah.
And I love ABC. He's great, and he will play the best devil's advocate you'll ever have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's cool. So.
But I know his heart's in the right place, you know.
Yeah. But anyway.
There's one more solution to this, Linda. I have a solution. I thought of this about the last time I was talking to you with you and Bill. I said, why don't we just all pretend like we're socialist liberals?
No, thanks.
Well, then we get no attention, Robert.
You mean like CMFLSB? What do they have, four listeners?
How do you act like a social liberal? That's what I want to know. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
I don't think it's possible. It's not in my DNA.
Yeah, it's just easy. Just spout off the same things that our Marxist leader does. God.
You're right. You know, it should be easy. Just take your natural reaction and do the opposite. Say the exact opposite of what you truly believe. But then, you know, it's hard because there's that whole not bearing false witness thing that kind of gets in my way. I have a tough time with it. I can't. It physically bothers me. My father and his sister don't see eye to eye on many things. And one of the things that was said when all this started, when he went into the hospital, is that they do not want anything posted on Facebook. They don't want her involved in any way. And she sent me an email. Said, I understand your dad's in the hospital and he's got some spots on his lung or something. You know, can you give me an update? What's going on? And I told him, I said, look, guys, I'm not going to lie to her. I can't. So just I told her, I said, you know, here's the rundown. Dad doesn't want you involved. And when he's ready, you know, he or I can tell you what's going on, but I can't go against his wishes. It's not mine. It's certainly not my wishes, but... And she's a very strong-willed person, as is my father and his mother. So, you know, she's one of the 160 IQs, and she's in the medical field, and they're concerned that she'll be calling the doctor and interfering, I guess, in some other. So, but that's their battle, and it's not mine, and I don't want to fight it. So,
right.
Hey, that's a shame.
It is. It really is.
It's really a shame. Yeah, well, you know, you can't cry over spilt milk. That's the way it is, Ron.
No, but, and you know, Robert, and it goes back to what I was talking about earlier in the show, that, you know, look at what we do to one another. Look at what we do to those that are closest to us or should be closest to us.
And in our own family.
It's just so damn petty.
It is juvenile. Very, very petty.
And in the grand scheme of life and God's amazing creation...
Mm-hmm.
And love, man, it's just the antithesis of that.
Yep, people act foolish, very foolish.
It's hurtful. It's very hurtful. I don't know the whole story, and I don't mean to digress into personal family business, but, you know, the thing is, we're supposed to love one another as we love ourselves. And I think that part of the problem is we lose self. We lose sight of who we truly are in our spirit.
Right.
And if we can't love ourselves, how can we possibly expect to be able to love others when we don't treat ourselves the way we should?
We don't govern ourselves.
We don't restrict ourselves.
Sure.
When we don't respect our Father, our Creator, our God in heaven, we show Him total disrespect.
But He doesn't hurt us, Ron.
Well, I know. That's a conversation.
God doesn't hurt us.
That's a conversation that Mikey and I had, and you know, he was saying, "I know I'm being punished," and I said, "You know, Mike, you know, 5 years ago I might have agreed with you, but I see it differently today." And no, sorry, Barbara, not Ron Wreck, but it is a wreck sometimes. Wreck. But rather than looking at it as God punishing us, I see it as the consequence of our own actions.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't give these commandments or these rules or these admonitions as punishment.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the consequence before
right.
you make the decision. He knows
right.
the outcome before you choose the path.
Right.
He's trying to keep you from that.
Right.
And then when bad things do happen, everybody blames God. I hear it from the atheists all the time. Well, what kind of God would let this... Hey, what kind of idiot would take the wrong path when you got somebody telling you, no, it's over here, and you go that way, and then you're pissed at him when what he said was right. And it's somehow
yep.
his fault. But you're the one that
yep.
made the choice. So I just kind of see it a little bit differently, I guess.
No, I think you're right.
Thanks.
Because it's like, you know, a two-year-old blaming their mother for, you know, not snatching them back from the running into the street. You know, I mean, getting hit. So it's
you know,
it's,
I guess
I know.
it's like that joke about the guy who was at his house and there was a flood, we can say in New Orleans for Katrina, I guess, and the water was up to the front steps, and two guys came by in a little John boat and said, "Hey man, you better get in the boat, man, the levee's busted and this place is going to be flooded." He said, "Nope, God's going to provide for me." I said, "Okay," and they shoved off, and away they went. About an hour later, you know, it was up to the bottom of the windows, and he was standing waist deep in water, and a guy came by in a little powerboat and said, "Come on, man, you got to get out of here. You're going to die. You're going to drown." And he said, "No, God's going to save me." And about 20 minutes later, he's on the roof of his house, and they come by with a helicopter. And he's standing on his tiptoes, and the water is right up to the very peak of the roof. And he said, "No, not me. God's going to save me." And, you know, he drowns. And he's up at the pearly gates, and he's looking at St. Peter, and he said, "You know, I'm really disappointed. I thought that you guys were going to save me." And he said, "Well, holy cow, we sent you two boats and a dang helicopter. I mean, what more did you need? Well, we tried, but you just wouldn't listen."
There you go.
Yeah.
So,
no, well,
you know,
listen.
Sometimes, most times, we get in our own way. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody misses no more, Ron.
I'm going to let you wrap it up and go back to the chat room. Thank you so much for doing the show and having us call in. And we're going to hang out in Delaney. And Bill and I
Absolutely.
Will probably be on the air tomorrow.
All
Absolutely.
Right, take care.
Thank you for calling in, Linda. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, God bless. Thanks.
God bless.
I should ask Miss Barbara in the chat room, where she hails from. We would love to invite her to show up with us at Delaney. We're going to have a lot of fun. New Jersey. Well, that's not too far away. Are you sure about that USA part, Barbara? Is New Jersey still in the USA, or is it part of the former American republics.
Oh, my Lord.
We actually have a couple coming from New York, Miss Yola and her husband Nick, and they're going to swing through Virginia and pick up Miss Terry. Yeah, it's called Delaney Park. It's in southern Indiana, out by Seymour. Really cool time. Had a great time with everybody that came last time. Robert, I hope that you and Miss Leonie can come.
We'll try to make it. We're just waiting on the dates on our vacation time. Hopefully it's the same dates.
Doc, that is correct. John Mellencamp country. Yes, sir.
Maybe if Frank's okay, maybe we could bring him up.
Oh my God, that would be awesome. That would be absolutely phenomenal.
I got to find out where he is, make sure he's okay. I know I've been guilty. I've been meaning to do it. It's just every time I want to do it, something comes up and I get distracted. So just bear with me. Please, I'll do it. I promise you. You know I'm a man.
I understand, Robert. I'm just giving you a hard time, and I knew you wouldn't see that one. I do, man.
I don't.
The people that I don't around, those are the ones that do work.
I think you should go down to Florida, buy me a micro beer, and smoke a cigar.
We could do that too. You know, we're actually there's a great little. Microbrewery in Gatlinburg, and we're going to stop. My wife and I are going to stop and have lunch or dinner there before we head up to Delaney. And then, Gatlinburg, Tennessee. As luck would have it, there's another one in Nashville that's right on my way home. So.
Wow.
I like to sample different micro beers from around the globe here around the U.S., our republic.
I love that. The last time I was in Gatlinburg is when I was when I was in Rome, Georgia, when I was playing football for Darlington. Another school, Darlington School. I went to Darlington. Did I ever tell you that?
No, I did not know that, sir.
Georgia. Yes, sir. We used to fight with the Baylor boys. Remember the Baylor boys up in Chattanooga?
crazy.
I have some good stories to tell you about that.
Absolutely.
At any rate, oh, my Lord, I love Gatlinburg. Gatlinburg's a cool town.
There's
a lot of history.
You know what, Robert? You guys are welcome to stop in at Gatlinburg on your way up, and we'd love to have you.
Is that midpoint, Ron? Not the way to Delaney? Do we go through Gatlinburg?
It is. There's a couple different ways to go. For me, from the Atlanta area, either Nashville or Gatlinburg is about halfway. Gatlinburg's actually a little farther. Gatlinburg's about 5 hours from Delaney, and Nashville's about 4 hours. So it's a couple hours out of the way, but the wife's never been there. She wants to go. I'm going to take her.
We still have 11 days to plan it.
All right. Well, I'm going to play the promo for the other shows, and then I'm going to send us out with a good song. So God bless you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Anytime, Robert.
Good night.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed but Never Forgotten. All times are Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.
Fantastic. Guys, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, all my listeners in the chat room. Can't wait to see everybody up in Delaney. And I'm going to take you guys out with another song. I just can't help myself. I really like this guy. And he's got, of course, a great message. So without further ado, God bless.